Yeah! Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
We are wrapping up our series called Resolved this week, and basically when we started out the new year, we decided that we wanted to talk about the thing that's on everybody's mind at the beginning of a new year, and that's resolutions and change and figuring out how do we make those resolutions actually happen? How do we make the things that we want to change in our lives actually, how do we see those things through? And so thinking about like things that you resolve to do in resolutions, it got me thinking about, when we started Compass. And when we got Compass started, there were a lot of things that we wanted to nail down into the DNA of this church, that we wanted to make sure that this is who we were and that we stuck to those things and we reiterated those things. And really, they were the things that Compass is resolved to be. So, you may hear these things if you're a part of Compass. You hear these things talked about now and then. One of those things that, Compass is resolved to be, we are resolved to be a church that people who don't like church love to attend. That is like a North Star for us. If you don't like church, if church is a thing that you've had a negative connotation about, well, then we want Compass to be a place that you love to attend. That's just a guiding principle for us. Another one of those things, one of our guiding principles, things that we are just resolved to make sure that Compass is about, is that it's that church should be fun. Church should be fun. If you come to Compass and you don't laugh at least one time, then we have failed. And when we go out into the lobby, you can rebuke me sternly and say, Chris, you were not funny today. There was nothing that made me laugh, giggle, or have any enjoyment at all. And the music was lame, and in which case you can yell at Kevin because that's his fault. But either way, church should be fun. And so, these are some of those things that Compass is resolved about. We are resolute about these things. We want to make sure that they are part of us, that they are always happen. And so in each and every one of our lives, we have these things that we're resolved to see happen in our lives. I'm resolved to be a great husband. I'm resolved to be a great husband first because I know that everything that happens in my family is going to start with the relationship that I have with my wife. After that, I'm resolved to be a great dad, knowing that if my relationship with my wife is strong, that my relationship with my kids can be strong. And honestly, but after my relationship with God, my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my kids, then all that church stuff comes after that. Because I'm resolved to be a dad and a husband before I'm resolved to be a pastor or a good employee or any of those other things. And so all of these things that we have that we're resolved to be are part of our core values. But in addition to those things, there's also things that kind of creep into our lives that we want to see changed. And change is really the operative word, right? Because there's a couple things about change that we really need to recognize. And it's not just related to the change that we want to see happen or the things that we want to change, our nose-picking habit or the fact that we leave dirty underwear on the floor for weeks and then, our wife, gets mad at us because there's a pile to the ceiling of dirty underwear. And who even has that much underwear to begin with? But, some of us do. And we want to change those things. But it's not even just those things. It's the fact that change is this thing in our lives that happens. And in fact, there's a couple things about change that we need to recognize. And the first is that change is inevitable. Okay, change is going to happen in our lives. It's absolutely inevitable. You don't have to do anything to change. Let me illustrate this a little bit. I've got some kind of before and after pics. They're going to show you what someone was like before and then after, and you can see kind of what happened in the change. So go ahead and bring that first picture up, guys. First, we got Justin Timberlake. Look at that. Isn't he cute? What a little dolly. Actually, the one thing that hasn't changed is kind of coiffed hair. But I mean, look at the difference. You've got this cute little guy, and then all of a sudden, this dude over here who wants to bring sexy back. Okay, so that's the change that's happened in Justin Timberlake. Bring us this next one. Look at Phil Robertson from Duck Dynasty. Like on the right, this baby-faced, shaven dude with a crew cut, and on the left is just this, homeless guy or something. I don't know. But like, look at that change. Here's the thing: he didn't have to work for that change to happen. All he had to do was stop shaving. And then change happens. Change is inevitable. Bring the next one up. Okay, that's Eminem. Look at him. Don't laugh at Eminem, dude. He will jack you up. Eminem, if you're listening to this podcast, which I'm sure you are, we love you. Here's some that are a little closer to home. Bring this next one up. This is our own Kent Burns. Yeah. Enjoy those short shorts, anyone? It's like... They're tie-dyed, I think. Way to go, Kent. So you can see, Kent has become from this, I don't know what that is over there, to kind of this GQ dude on the left. Let's bring up the next one. I really like this one. That's our own Tracy Rosenberger and marching band. You call it a slush pump? Is that what you call that thing? A trombone? I don't know. Tracy, he was so good looking in high school. I don't know what happened to the guy, but you can see the change. This next one is probably my favorite. Let's bring this next one up. So that's me. Yeah, I think I was probably 14 or 15. Like, my body is this 14 year old. It looks grossly disproportionate too for some reason. Like, it's just, it's odd. I have a t-shirt tucked into jean shorts, which just illustrates that fashion changes as well. So, okay, just for the sake of continuing on with this message, take that picture off, because no one is going to pay attention to anything I say after this. So change is inevitable, okay? You don't have to try to change. Change is going to happen to you. It just happens. And the other thing about change is this. Change happens over time. Okay, the GQ good-looking guy standing before you did not happen overnight from that gawky, awkward-looking teenager. It was an overtime process of God crafting me into this specimen that you see standing before you now. Change is inevitable, but change happens over time. It's not an overnight thing. Overnight change, it doesn't happen. And so understanding these two principles of change is key to understanding this final thing that we want to talk about in the Resolve series. Change happens over time, and that change is inevitable. And understanding this is that if we want to see the change that we want to see happen in our lives, the changes that we want to forecast, the changes where we can kind of plot our course, we have to manage this inevitable change. We could just do nothing and change is going to happen and you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. But if we want to be in control, if we want to understand and direct the changes in our lives, we have to manage the change that happens in our lives. And so what we want to do is we want to talk about this today and this final ingredient really in the recipe of change in our Resolved series. And that final element in the recipe of change is this. It's perseverance. Or to those of us who are much simpler, it's just not quitting. And so today we want to talk about perseverance or not quitting. And so if you have your Bibles or your iPhone or whatever you have, turn with me to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And this is kind of where we're going to land most of today, and we're going to elaborate on this very short passage. And James is writing to the church, and he says this. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." So let me stop here. Let me give you just a little bit of background, just kind of get into this, just so you kind of know what this is. James was the brother of Jesus. He was Jesus' brother. And after all of the events of Jesus' life happened, and Jesus died, and he was raised from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, you know, all the apostles started this new church, and it just kind of began. And James, Jesus' brother, kind of ascended into leadership of the church in Jerusalem. There was no pope or anything like that back then, but if you were going to call someone kind of in charge, it would be James. He became kind of the head of what was going on in this brand new church that was just starting at the very beginning stages. Another thing that's interesting about James as well, at least the book we're reading today, James wrote a letter to the church in Jerusalem to elaborate on the Christian faith. And he's trying to teach them about how do you live, how do you follow Jesus effectively, what are the things you're supposed to do and not supposed to do. The book of James, this letter is actually the oldest book in the New Testament. So it means this. It means the letter that James wrote to the church is the first document that we have in the New Testament that was written historically. So the church is beginning. You've got all these books of the New Testament. You've got the Gospels. You've got the epistles, which were basically these letters written by Paul and other apostles. And then in there is the book of James, which is the first document ever written. So that means this. James is writing to the church trying to get just the fundamentals down. Okay, he's trying to get the first things first. He's not trying to deal with issues in a church that have been around for decades. He's trying to say, okay, look, this is the most important stuff that you need to understand and you need to be focused on when it comes to following Jesus and understanding the life that he has for us. And he says in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Why? Because you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Your endurance, your perseverance, your ability to not quit. Here's the thing, just right out of this passage that we got to understand and know this, is that God wants to develop perseverance in your life. Perseverance is this thing that is important in the faith journey that you have with Jesus. In fact, it's James chapter 1. It's one of the very first things that James, who writes one of the very first books that historically hit the New Testament at all, says. One of the very first things he hits is that God wants to develop perseverance in your life. God wants to put in you the ability to endure, to keep pressing on, to not quit when it comes to seeing the change that we want to see happen in our lives and to seeing the changes that we want to have happen. Because seeing those changes requires perseverance. The things that you've resolved to do in 2014, the resolutions that you've made, the things that you want to change so that you can be a better person, the things that you want to see change so that you can be more the person that God destined and designed you to be, require perseverance. And check this out in James chapter 1, verse 4. He says in 3, you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. I love this because James, he kind of understands human nature, right? He says, look, when you face trials, when you face difficult circumstances, or when you face a wall in trying to change, when you hit that wall and it's tough to get over, he says, look, you need to endure. You need to press through because it's going to develop that endurance and that perseverance in your life. And then the first thing he says after that is, so what you need to do is let it. Because can I ask you something? How many of you guys have ever quit something in your life? Anybody? Some of you guys are like, I will never admit to that. When I was in high school, I used to work at Grady's. It was really one of my first real job as an adult. An adult, I don't know. But it was my first real job. I worked at Grady's, and I worked in the games department. And so I went for my first day, and I was excited. I was going to make some money, and I thought it was going to be, you know, awesome. And it's summer, and it's beautiful, and there's all this, you know, it's outside. It's a carnival-like environment. And I was a teenager, and let's just be honest. There's going to be cute teenage girls walking around Grady's golfing games, and here I'm going to be the guy helping them out. Hey, nice to see you. And so I go to my first orientation deal, and they're explaining the process, and they're walking us through the park to see all the rides. And I'm like, this will be cool. I can handle this. And then we get to the very last stage, and they say, okay, here's your uniform. And they give me a pink T-shirt, hot pink, and they give me a big, giant pink baseball cap that says Grady's on the top. Now, there's two things about me that you need to know. The picture of me that was on the screen would tell you this. First is that I have a really tiny head. I have like a baby-sized head, okay? Just in proportion to my body. It's a tiny little thing. And so when you put a baseball cap on it that's sized for a normal human being, it literally looks like I've taken the baseball hat for like Andre the Giant or Shaquille O'Neal and put it on my head. You know, it's that deal where my ears are pushed down. And so baseball hats on me look incredibly stupid. Well, I look incredibly stupid with a baseball hat. And so I'm a teenager, right? And so I'm self-conscious. So that's the first. The second thing is that, you know, when I was a teenager, I had a flowing, healthy head of hair. And, you know, I was the kid who didn't want anybody to mess with his hair. Don't mess my hair up. Okay, we could be stupid, we could goof around, we could wrestle, and you know, you could punch me in the arm all day and say, hey, haha, bro, what's up? But if you noogie me and mess up my hair, my friend is going to come to blows because you do not mess with that beautiful coif. I wish I could have said this beautiful coif, but those days are long gone. So I have a tiny head, I look stupid in hats, and in addition to that, I never wear hats because, look, you're going to mess up this perfect coif, this Jason Priestley 90210 hairdo that I spent 20 minutes on every day. So I'm at the job, I've got this dumb hat, I've got a dumb pink shirt, it's probably tucked into my jean shorts at the time because that's what I did apparently. And so I go to my first day at work and I'm just standing at this ride, it's hot, I got this pink shirt on, I'm wearing the dumb hat, I'm feeling self-conscious like I look stupid, and no one's around, so I'm like, you know what, I'm going to take this hat off. So I take the hat off. It's off for like 15 minutes and one of the managers comes by, hey Chris, put that hat on, you got to wear that hat. So I'm like, ugh, I put the hat on. And I'm just like wearing it throughout the day. All the you know, the hot chicks that are coming by riding the rides, none of them give me any attention. And I know it's because they can't see my hair. And it's because I look stupid in this hat. And so I do what any teenager would do. And I take the hat off and I rip it. Because then I can say, oh, the hat ripped. And so I couldn't wear it. And so I did that. And the manager comes by, Chris, where's your hat? I'm like, you know what? I took it off and it ripped. And she's like, oh, well, that was dumb. Here, let me get you another one. So she goes and gets me a brand new hat and puts it on me, and I feel stupid. And I'm like, ugh. So I come back for my second day of work, and I'm doing the bumper boats, right? And I'm in my pink shirt, I'm in my dumb pink hat. I feel self-conscious and dumb, and it's hot. And And I'm doing this, and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I cannot do this job. Everyone's looking at me and thinking I look like an idiot. And so as I'm doing the bumper boats, I accidentally fall into the pool where the bumper boats are. And I get out, and I'm soaked. I'm like, oh, man, this is the worst. I should probably go home because, you know, obviously I'm soaking wet. And she's like, yeah, you should. Just run home and then come back in like 15 minutes. I was like, oh, take a hint, woman. And so finally I called. I said, hey, I'm not coming back. This job isn't for me. And I quit. And I quit because I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't look dumb. I couldn't wear the hat. I couldn't be hot. It just wasn't my thing. And so I quit. And as James writes this, I feel like James is talking directly at me when he says that you need to allow your person's perseverance to grow. So let it. Because deep down at some level, we're all kind of quitters. And the reality is this, is that if you quit one thing, it's very easy to quit the next thing, right? The first time you quit a job and like you rip that Band-Aid off, the next time you have a job you want to quit, you're like, oh, okay, well, that wasn't the end of the world. Like, the sky didn't collapse on me and I'm not homeless and in a shelter somewhere. So, hey, this works. I can quit. So when you quit once, it's easier to keep quitting. And James, as he writes this, it's almost as if he knows human nature is to quit and to give up. And he says, listen, when you face trials, you need to allow them to develop endurance and perseverance in you. When you face those trials, that perseverance is going to grow. So let it. Let it grow. Don't quit. Let it grow because, and this is the best part, when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Perseverance ends in change. And we know that because change is inevitable, right? Change is inevitable and it happens over time. But perseverance ends in change, but not just any old change. Perseverance ends in perfect change. That's what James is saying. He's saying, listen, when you allow God to develop perseverance in your life, it's not just going to end in a decent change or qualitative change or just kind of an okay change. If you allow perseverance to develop, if you allow God to grow that endurance in your life, it's going to end in perfect change. How many of you guys can say, you know what? There's changes I want to see happen in my life, and I want it to be perfect. I want when I look back at my life, and I want when people look at my life, I want them to say, you know what? I want to live like he did. I want to live like she did. That's the kind of change I want to see happen in my life. James goes on in chapter 1, verse 12, and he says this just a little later on. He says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive a crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. There's no real perfect or good change without perseverance. It just doesn't happen. When I was a kid, we lived kind of out in the country, and under my window was kind of like this little garden area where you could plant flowers, and then there was the garden hose that was next to it. Now, we never planted flowers because, let's just be honest, planting flowers is a real pain. And so we just kind of had this dirt patch that was our playground. And so you could take matchbox cars or you could take a little shovel and dig for dinosaur bones or whatever, because there's obviously going to be dinosaur bones in the foundation of our house. But I used to take the garden hose that was by that dirt patch, and you know, I would turn that on, and I would just love to play in the water. And so, you know, first you're spraying stuff, and you're spraying the house, and you're spraying the dirt, and you're making mud puddles. And as I made mud puddles, I realized, okay, I've made a lake. And what I realized after building this kind of lake with the garden hose in this dirt patch is that I really want water over here as well. And so what do? You take that garden hose and you put your thumb on it and create some pressure. And I would carve out like a river in my dirt patch so that the water could kind of run downhill from this lake into this lake so that then I could just drop the hose here and it would just be like this water ecosystem, right? And then here's what I was sure of in my like 10-year-old brain was that eventually fish are going to evolve into this lake and I can fish in it and, you know, catch all sorts of amazing, I'll get frogs and turtles. It's just going to be, it's going to be amazing. You know, be like a koi pond, just, it's going to be wonderful. So I take the garden hose and I fill up my lake. And I just start channeling out this river down to my other lake. Well, here's what I had to do. I couldn't just like kind of spray it and then it would be okay because ultimately it's just this big slushy swamp. So I had to take the hose and I had to keep just spraying and spraying and spraying over and over and over again over this river. And I had to carve it out with the water. And then I'd carve it out with the water some more. And then the water would run and then mud would collapse in. And I'd carve it back out again until eventually I had this like 3 or 4 inch deep channel that water from here would flow down into this other lake. And obviously, you know, as if you're a parent, you know, you can understand that in no way was I thinking about the water bill as I was, you know, planting this great lake in the back of my yard. But either way, I had to channel out this river because if I didn't, the water wouldn't flow, but it took time and it took pressure. Over and over again, I had to go over that river. Over and over, I had to carve it out. I had to get through it. I had to dig down to it. And honestly, you know what? That's how I dug a river in my backyard, a little stream. It's the exact same way that the Grand Canyon was carved out. Just thousands and thousands and thousands of years of a river running through kind of a plateau. And as years went by, the river carved down deeper and deeper and deeper until we have this amazing canyon that's been dug out by years and years and years of water just running through it. Here's the thing, that change happened, but it didn't happen quickly. And it's easy for us in life to just want to drop the garden hose into the dirt and say, voila, just let's have this magic, you know, magic water wonderland that just appears. But the reality is this, that doesn't happen immediately. It takes work, it takes patience, it takes time. You got to carve that out. You got to dig it out. And then eventually over time, it's going to be perfect and it's going to be beautiful, but it requires perseverance. You see, sometimes in our lives, it's easy to get discouraged when change doesn't happen quickly, right? When change doesn't happen overnight, it's easy to get frustrated and discouraged. Or you know what else? It's easy for us to get discouraged when we decide we want to change, and then it starts right away, right? And it's good. Like, I'm going to go to the gym, and I'm hitting the gym for 3 weeks straight, and I'm starting to see some definition, and I'm starting to feel stronger, and I can run more than 3.5 minutes on a treadmill now, and I'm starting to, like, really feel the difference. And it's easy to feel like we're there, but what happens? You hit a wall, right? And all of a sudden, you're not dropping the pounds like you were when you started. And all of a sudden, the weights that you're trying to lift are getting heavier and heavier. And all of a sudden, you're tired of drinking stupid protein shakes because, let's be honest, they taste like chalk. And you just don't want to do it anymore. And it's easy for us to get discouraged when even that initial change kind of stops. And it's the difference between an avalanche and a glacier. Think about an avalanche, right? An avalanche is this big, massive, drastic thing that happens, right? And there's a mountain that's full of snow, and, you know, whether it's just the weight of that snow or whether there's a loud noise that sets it off, and just all of a sudden, in one moment, just everything cascades down the mountain, and the whole surface of the mountain changes. Everything is different because the avalanche has just blown everything down. The deal with an avalanche is this, it's all surface. It's just moving around snow on top of the mountain. If everything melted, the mountain looks exactly the same. But a glacier is this giant icy monolith, this huge thing, right? And when you look at a glacier, it looks like it's just sitting there. And yet, over thousands of years, that glacier moves. And as it moves, it carves out valleys and it carves out pathways in the ground. And then all of a sudden, the landscape that we see, the landscape that we lived in, we recognize this has been carved out by thousands of years of a glacier slowly and gradually moving. The avalanche is quick, and when it hits, but it's all surface. A glacier carves deep down into the core and foundation of the earth, and it makes changes that last forever. Hebrews 10:36 says this, patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will, and then you will receive all that he has promised. Patient endurance is what we need now in order to see God do the things that he wants to do in our lives. You see, the change that God's going to do in you, the change that God has done in me, it's not a snap your finger change. Now, that's not to say that that doesn't happen sometimes, that there's not times in our lives where God will immediately transform somebody or do something in your life. I know that many of you guys, there's been a time where you raised a hand in a service and you said, you know what, I want to become a follower of Jesus. And something happened in that moment and God just, he changed your heart and he confirmed something in you that he loves you, that you're precious and special to him, that he has a plan for you and your life. And that was real. But partnered with those moments is this kind of, this glacier-like change that God wants to do in your life. And it's going to take time, and it's going to take endurance. Because here's the thing, God doesn't want to do avalanche change in your life. And you know what? The reality is this, avalanche change in your life is not going to make that big of a difference for you. Because an avalanche change is going to be a surface change. And you may sit in a service, and you may respond to what God's doing, and you may take notes and say, man, this is what God's speaking to me, and this is awesome. And you're going to go home and you're going to put it on your nightstand, and that's going to be it. And everything's just going to stop after that because it was surface. It was avalanche. But God wants to do glacier change in your life. And glacier change requires perseverance. It requires patience. I'm a Star Trek fanatic. I love science fiction, and I love Star Trek. And I, seriously, if they could invent a transporter, I would just like, I would probably just kiss the feet of whoever could invent a transporter, because like the idea that I could just go from here to there in 1 minute would be incredible. You know, I'm just going to go from here to California. I don't have to get in a plane. I don't have to get in a car. It's just boop, boop, and I'm there. Transporters are the bomb. But God doesn't want to do transporter change in your life. God, that's not God's plan for you. Your faith journey is not a Star Trek transporter. Your faith journey was designed to be walked out. Your faith journey was designed to happen over time. Your faith journey was designed to be something that God does over a certain period. And the reason is because the change that God wants to do in your life requires perseverance. The perfect change requires perseverance. Perfect change requires the process of change. And the process of change is what allows us to become who God wants us to be. Your perfect change requires the process of change, which requires perseverance. And can I tell you this morning, as we wrap this series up, I mean, we've talked about the decision that it takes at the beginning of the process of change, that everything begins with a choice that says, okay, I'm gonna make a decision to allow God to control my life instead of just allowing everything that's controlled it to control it up till now. And really what that speaks to is this inevitable change. Change is going to happen, right? And so I'm going to make a choice that rather than just letting change happen to me, I'm going to make a decision to allow God to guide that change. And then we talked about habits and how it's important to allow spiritual habits to kind of spearhead everything. And it's not just about quitting things, but it's about replacing them with the habits that are important. And the relationships that are crucial, we talked about last week, that you can't change without relationships, and that here at Compass, we want to be a church of people that always build up and never tear down, that we want to be a church of people who are looking for the best in others, that expect the best of others, so that we can continue to spur each other on to the change that God wants to do in our lives. And then the last ingredient into this recipe of seeing the change that God wants to happen in our lives is this, is that we persevere, that we don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Because in the middle of your difficult change, in the middle of a process that you're tired of, in the middle of a process that you can't seem to get over the hump in, that's exactly where God is going to make you the person that He wants you to be. At the hardest point of your process of being changed, the most difficult point where you want to give up, where you want to take that stupid pink hat off your head and rip it into shreds because you think it looks stupid and throw it in the pool. At that point, God is going to do the biggest change in your life if you just endure, if you persevere, if you step on to the next phase. And that's where you become perfect. That's where you become everything that He intends for you to be. That's when you begin to see the victory that you've been fighting for so long. Perseverance. Don't quit. Let God do the change in your life. Hold on. He will carry you through it. Let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You that You've been speaking to us, God, about the process of change. And really, it's Your process of change in our life that we've been talking about. And Your plan for that and how You want to see that through in our lives. God, we know that change is inevitable because we've all changed. We've all changed in some ways, whether for good or for bad. And God, many of us are tired of living in this process where it's just happening to us. And we want to take control of this and see the changes that we want to see happen in our lives instead of just the changes that are happening. And so, Lord, we pray this morning that You would speak into our hearts about what You want to do in us, that You would encourage us and give us strength to persevere and endure, and that God, this very morning, that You would see change happen, that You would see change begin even in many of the people in this building, Lord. With everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to give you an opportunity to respond to this. If you're in the middle of a change process or you're facing a difficult situation, what James would call a trial or a temptation, and you want to give up, you want to quit, and you just need God to get you over that hill, get you over that mountain. And this message was for you, that you know you need to persevere. I want to pray for you. And if that's you, just as an act of faith and responding and saying, you know what, God, I'm in this. I'm not going to quit. I'm holding on to You. If that's you, you need to persevere and you need God to work this out in your life. Just slip your hand up right now. It's hands all over the room. If you're in this room this morning and talking about a journey of faith is something different to you. Maybe your journey of faith doesn't really have anything to do with Jesus, or it hasn't up to this point, and yet you're sitting in this room and it's resonating with you, this fact that something's got to change, and you're tired of your life controlling you. And you're ready to say, you know what, Chris, I want to give Jesus a shot. I don't know what this means for me. I may not even totally understand this. I may have never picked up a Bible in my life, but I sense something in this room, and I sense something in your life, maybe the life of people I've seen around me today, and I want to become a follower of Jesus. I'm ready to just take that first step. Can I tell you the first step, the decision you make to take that first step, is the beginning of a process of incredible transformation that can happen in your life, and God will see it through, but it starts with this, saying, Jesus, I just want to follow you. And if that's you today and this morning, you want to say, I want to become a follower of Jesus today, I'm not going to embarrass you, I just want to pray for you. Everyone's heads bowed or eyes closed. If you just slip your hand up right now, I want to become a follower of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, I pray for two groups today. First, I pray for those people who've lifted their hands and said this perseverance, this endurance, they need it in their life. They need it developed. They need it to grow. Father, first I pray this. I pray, God, that you would change their perspective on the circumstance that they face. And that just as James said, God, that they would consider this challenge pure joy, not because it's easy or fun, but because they recognize this fact that you are going to use this to perfect them, that you are going to use this to develop endurance and perseverance in their life. And so, God, I pray that you would change their heart to see this not as a challenge, but as an opportunity. And then, Lord, I pray this. I pray that you would grow their perseverance, that you would grow their endurance and give them the strength to get through this. Father, I pray that you would give them the vision to see the change that you want to see happen in their lives. That they could see over the horizon what lies ahead if they can just hold on, if they cannot quit. And God, as you grow and develop that in their lives, I pray then, Lord, that they would understand that you are in a constant process of perfecting them, that the person they are today is not the person they're going to be a year from now, that the person they are a year from now is not the person they're going to be 10 years from now as they continue to follow you, because your work of perfecting us never ends. Lord, I pray for those who've lifted their hands to say they want to become a follower of Jesus today. And I pray with them, Jesus. We confess that we're sinners. We confess that we can't do it on our own. God, we confess that we've left a mess of our life. And we need you, Jesus. We need you to come and become the Lord of our lives. We surrender ourselves to you, saying, God, do what you want in my life. I surrender it to you. I give it to you. And I'm asking you to change me, God. Change us, Lord. God, we love you and we thank you for what you're doing in us and through us. And we appreciate so much your heart for us and your heart for this church. We pray it all in your name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.